You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 905 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You can call in, peeps. You're more than welcome to get in here. How upset were you guys to learn that this is going to be Coach K's last year? The greatest coach and the greatest program in college basketball with the nicest kids that always... Just the good guys. The good guys now losing their leader, their fearless leader.
He lost some of that whole shine when his back... When he's like, oh, my back! When they were terrible.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, in the middle of a bad season.
Those weren't his losses then.
Yeah. Did they put those on him?
I don't think so.
I guess not.
Interim coach on there.
Yeah, the interim coach is like, I guess I'll take these L's.
Yep.
Greg Newton.
I think Coach K and Duke came together and thought to themselves, look, we don't want a likable guy following him.
John Shire.
But we don't want the most unlikable guy following him. So just pick Shire. Like, I mean, where's Wojo at? Shire wasn't likable.
I'm surprised Johnny Dawkins didn't get it.
Well, he was available. I guess they considered him, but didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
Look, Dawkins is too likable for this job. We need slightly unlikable, but not very unlikable. And Redick is still playing. So let's go with John Shire.
John Shire must be heady or something, because John Shire certainly isn't a Johnny Dawkins.
Well, he's a guy who was on a more recent Coach K team that was pretty good. Yeah. And he's on the staff. So
Shire
was
one of those weaselly little Duke players. He looks like a Duke player.
Yeah.
Weaselly, like Quinn Snyder, did he play at Duke?
I believe.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Does he look weaselly?
Job. Yeah. Well.
Bobby Hurley? Well,
yeah, Bobby Hurley. Now that's weaselly.
Quinn Snyder, all of them. I mean, just because Quinn's got nice hair doesn't mean he's not weaselly.
Yeah, no. Grayson Allen.
So John Shire fits the mold. That's what Duke recruits.
He wasn't Weasley.
He's just perfect because he's white. No. He wasn't an a-hole. No, he was slender. He was fit the Duke mold. He wasn't muscular. He was slender. He could shoot from distance. He had a little Weasley kind of mid-range game where he had the quick release shot. You could tell he had issues when a good athlete was checking him and defending him. When a strong guy was guarding him, he didn't like it too much. You know, a Duke player.
Well, yeah. And we got to be able to continue to get the good white players, the Christian Leitners, the Bobby Hurleys, the Grant Hills.
They kind of transitioned.
Black players over the years. Things have changed. Maybe you didn't know this. Guys don't stay 3 or 4 years anymore.
No, I know.
The good ones don't.
The unfortunate thing for them is Greg Paul is... just started his head coaching career.
Yeah,
he just got the Niagara job a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe if Coach K had retired 3 years from now, Paulus would have been up for the job.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shire fits the mold of a guy no one's going to like him out there.
Oh, don't worry. Shire will be bad, and they'll have to fire him.
Tommy Amaker had some weasel in him.
Yeah.
He's not white. Tommy Amaker had a little bit of weasel in him, but it was in the early stages. It was like mid-80s, so you couldn't really tell.
The early stages of weaselism?
Weaselity.
Weaselity.
Now, Christian Leitner, my sons were asking me if Christian Leitner, they were asking, who was Snacks asking if they were as bad as hated as Christian Leitner? And I said,
nobody.
Son, there's never been a player who's played who was as hated as Christian Leitner. Partially because he was really, really good. My son was asking me if somebody was a washout, like if they flopped, like, or if somebody was similar. No, it's Jimmer Fredette. He said, hey, where did Jimmer Fredette play? And I said, you know, BYU. And he said, so he was like Christian Leitner, where he was good in college, but he was washed in the pros, because that's what the kids say. And I said, well, you know, technically, I see where you're going with this, but Christian Leitner was a high draft pick. Jimmer Fredette was not a high draft pick.
I don't know. I thought
he was late. Was he late first or early second? I think Jimmer was late.
Jimmer was
a second round
pick overall.
Who?
He was a 10th pick overall.
Jimmer was 10th?
Yep. He was a lottery pick.
Is Jimmer's career path like Christian Leitner's? You know, my initial statement to Snacks was, no, they're not, because Leitner was A, more heralded, and he was. More heralded, but I didn't remember Jimmer getting picked that high.
Yeah, it wasn't a great draft. Kyrie was the number one overall. It was the same draft where the Rockets took the Marcus Morris before Kawhi. So that's what Kemba was in that draft. Klay Thompson, those actually had some pretty good players.
Yeah.
But Jimmer was one of those picks. He was picked between Kemba and Klay.
Wow.
How many years?
Jimmy Butler was in that draft too. So
how many years
surprising.
You think Leitner played in the league?
Oh man, golly, 7?
13.
What?
Yeah,
Christian Leitner stuck around 13 years after having a 4-year NBA college career or 3-year?
He was.
I think Christian was a 4-year guy and still played 13 years of pro basketball.
Yeah, he got in the league at 23 and he left at 35.
Christian actually was scored more. He was in the teens. I'm going to say his career average was 11.
12.8. Close.
You know what? More than people would probably think. What was his high? Let me guess his high year. I'm going to say 19 points a game.
His high year was his rookie year, 18.2.
Okay.
His rookie year was his best year.
Was he shouted out in a rap at any
point? He also had an 18.0, 18.1.
It was an all-star 1 year, too.
Christian Leitner was an all-star. Snacks, shut up with your comparisons.
Yeah, don't. Jimmer, that's an insult to Christian, Jimmer, the Jimmer Fredette comparison.
Jimmer Schmimmer. Jimmer did win $1 million on
you
that.
You know who to me, that immediately I thought of, that didn't live up to, is Pete Maravich. But how could you live up
for
to 44
player?
Points a game? You know that he wasn't the pro that he,
you know, who would have
as heralded as he came out. But he averaged 24 a game in the pros.
Yeah, he averaged like 34 shots.
Yeah,
terrible shooting percentage. Daryl would have hated him.
Daryl would have loved
highly
him. Daryl would have signed him to a $100 million deal.
Daryl doesn't like inefficient lead scorers. James,
his
is
field
the
goal
lead
percentage
scorer.
Was 44%.
His career field goal percentage.
Yeah,
but he had years where he was in the 30s, right?
He had. No, he was always in the 40s. Not 1 year under 40.
But actually, the times were different. It was
44% is 44%. He led the league in scoring 1 year at 31 a game. And actually, his last 3 years was when the three-point field goal came out. And he was a 67% three-point shooter.
44 from twos. That's not very good.
Well, that's all they had was twos for most of the
career.
Well,
that's what I mean, and that's why it's not efficient.
Well, for a guard, 44 isn't bad. It's actually pretty good.
I wonder what the numbers were for guards back then. I don't know.
Yeah, your field goal percentage now is based upon your three-point makes and misses, too. So 36% is considered pretty good from three, but that plays into your overall field goal percentage now, too.
I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, but don't forget, he also took long shots.
Did he take?
He was a guy who would take. He wasn't afraid to shoot for 25 or 26.
I'm looking at
Daryl. Daryl hates that.
Well, that was all that was available.
Daryl says don't shoot those shots. Sure, Daryl could not have been a GM back in the 60s,
well, yeah,
70s.
I was looking at Pistol Pete in 76, 77. That man got up 28 shots in a season on average.
No, he was a volume shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He had some Iverson to him where he could get up some shots now.
Well, I mean, I wonder what color do-rag Pistol Pete was wearing.
I was thinking about this, so let's break it here. But supposedly Danny Ainge has some issues with basketball players today. That's why, specifically who he's got with the Celtics. But I think Danny, just like a lot of people, is having a hard time with the transition of where some of the players are today, where there's just not the same level of intensity and overall day-to-day competitiveness, at least in his opinion. And I want to bring up a player from the past here in a second and talk about whether or not they were foreshadowed this. We'll do that here in a second.
Right.
9:14 here on the bench.
Time to get your running shoes on. Registration now open for the Houston Rockets virtual run benefiting Children's Memorial Hermann. Run or walk a 5K, 10K, or kids 1K at your preferred time, place, and pace by June 6th. So it's June 3rd already. You got a few days left, and you got a chance to win prizes as well. All participants will receive a Rockets Run t-shirt, race bib, race medal, and mesh bag. So this is fun. You can do it at your own pace. It's not, you got to be there on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, which is a pain in the butt. You can do it whenever you want to do it, after school, after work, whatever the case may be. Just go sign up at Rockets.com. Get out there and run this year's Rockets virtual run to support Children's Memorial Hermann. Rockets.com. Find out how you do it and how you raise money at Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
917 ESPN 97.5, 7370-3776. And when last we left you, by the way, Brad Stevens is now taking Danny Ainge's place in charge of basketball operations. And the thought was, Brad Stevens is probably glad to get off the court and have not having to deal with the daily drama of players.
Well, but you still do in a way. You could have just got out of it and gone somewhere else.
You got the coach, take care of that. Take care of that. That's your
coach. We'll see who the new coach is going to be. But Danny Ainge, there's rumors that Danny Ainge will end up in Utah and that there could be a decision. This is the rumor that's out there. Henry Abbott was talking about this too from True Hoop. That Dennis Lindsay might have his eyes on coming back to the Houston Rockets.
That would be totally sweet.
Be phenomenal. Dennis Lindsay started with the Rockets. He was a video coordinator. He was a play basketball at Baylor, video coordinator with the Rockets. He moved up to, you know, he kept moving up the rank, was under Carroll Dawson. I thought he was the favorite to become the next GM when Carroll Dawson stepped down. Instead, the Rockets brought in Daryl Morey. Dennis got along fine with Daryl Morey. They worked together well. Dennis learned a lot about analytics with Daryl. He had an opportunity to go to San Antonio and work under RC Buford and Greg Popovich and learn a new way. Because Dennis Lindsay told me once, I had a chance to learn under Rudy T, which is one way of doing things, Carroll Dawson, which is a more standard evaluation GM type stuff, Jeff Van Gundy, which is his own way of doing things, Daryl Morey, which is a completely different way of doing things, and then the Spurs model, R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich. And Dennis said he was so ready to take the Utah job when he was offered it, that the greatest move he ever made was going to San Antonio, because he left Houston. He didn't have a bad thing to say about Houston at all. He left on good terms with the Rockets. He just had an opportunity to expand his knowledge base and his understanding of the sport with R.C. Buford and Pop, and he did that. And now he's really built up the Utah Jazz and done a fantastic job. He stepped out of GM role, technically into a president's role. But the thought is that the owner is good friends with Danny Ainge, and that maybe Danny Ainge will come in there and Dennis will leave. And Dennis's wife, her grandfather or father was famous coach at TCU years and years ago. So, I think they have family here still. Dennis is tragically passed in a car accident when he was in college. I still remember I sent him a letter. I was a freshman at Tulane, and I just knew him from basketball. He didn't know me, but I knew him from when he played at Brazoswood. He was a great player. And Dennis Lindsay's parents passed in a car accident when he was in college at Baylor.
That's horrible.
Yeah. But anyway, I think they still have some roots here family-wise. So, man, I'm telling you, I don't dislike Rafael Stone. Don't really know him well. Had one conversation with him. I think he's done okay in a very, very, very tough situation. But moving forward, and this is nothing against Rafael Stone, if you're going to have a bunch of draft picks to work with and you're going to have the opportunity to rebuild a team that's being torn down to the studs, well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I'm taking Dennis Lindsay. If Dennis Lindsay would come back to the Rockets. So that's just something to keep your eye on. That's something to kind of has made its way out there into the general public over the last couple of days, at least the basketball public. And Dennis Lindsay's a guy who, I'm telling you, highly, highly regarded and respected, respects analytics, but came up in the more Rudy-centric way of evaluating. So I don't know where he stands now on that whole thing, but I think he has a healthy respect for analytics. But you see what Utah does. Utah's not just a bunch of 1-4 stuff. Utah, Dale, would you say Utah, in your opinion, is still kind of an old school team in terms of their offensive approach?
I mean, they get up their threes.
Yeah, everyone's going to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of you watch them play sometimes, and And a lot of it is, I wouldn't say strictly pick and roll, but you have a ball dominant guard who you want to give multiple opportunities to. I wouldn't say they're old school. I'm asking what you mean by that, really.
I think the willingness to play was to some mid range.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell will get into there and take shots. I don't think they're against it.
It may not be. Maybe because they have a big. And because I see Donovan Mitchell, you know, get into the paint. Getting into the paint was also a Daryl Morey thing. You know, his whole thing is efficiency. Shoot free throws, threes and frees, I call it. But also, he liked shots in the paint for guys who could finish in the paint. And he would also argue he liked mid-range jumpers when it was somebody like Chris Paul shooting the mid-range jumper. They just have a certain level of efficiency that they want from a primary shot. But I think when it comes to building a team, that Dennis Lindsay might look at things a little different than Daryl Morey. He might respect a big rim protector and, you know, rebounder more than Daryl. Daryl seemed to, at some point, have a disdain for that. It almost seemed like, and maybe not. Maybe it's just that to get what he wanted, he had to move guys who had value, and Clint Capella had value. Let me tell you, Clint Capella's got value for the Hawks right now.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah. Right. And this off, hey, Clint Capella actually fit into this offense pretty well with James Harden feeding him dunks, getting easy baskets, rebounding. You know, obviously defensively, he was a shot blocker, but he couldn't cover big guys inside. But who is it that you said was a former player?
Yep. Who may have foreshadowed the entire movement that we see now. It's Allen Iverson. Practice. We're talking about practice. AI. Now, AI, I didn't think AI was about, I think AI loved the culture of blending hip-hop with basketball. I don't think he was about drip and Instagram. That's not what I'm saying. AI was a dog. Like, he was, and that's where it kind of changes, is AI was a ridiculous competitor. But AI didn't like practice. Allen Iverson didn't like practice. He didn't like to be, he just wanted to play games. And he didn't think he should be held to the same standards. AI also famously, I mean, he had some issues. He had a drinking issue that ended up catching up with him. Stephen A. Smith has laid out some of the issues that he's had in the past. But, you know, Danny Ainge, I think, is having some problems with, we see it in football, we see it in basketball. I completely recognize, and some in baseball too, I completely recognize the idea of shutting down excessive workloads, especially as it pertains to players breaking down physically, like we've seen in the NFL. But we have crossed, in my opinion, we've crossed a boundary to where there's not enough practice going on right now in football. They need more. I'm not saying it has to be padded, but you do need to. The players who are coming into the league, I think in basketball and base in football, are not as skilled as they once were. They don't stay as long. And then football really has become a very simplified sport in college football. They simplified as much as possible, not just for the quarterback, but for the offensive line. And not all schools, but many schools, they want to play fast. And they'll tell you, technique is not a big deal. You just have to learn to stay in front of a guy. And so my dad would have to reset technique with a player and teach them from the ground floor up. He's like, Lance, we never had to do that back when I first started coaching in the NFL in the early 2000s. You had guys who had a baseline of technique. He said it really got bad at the end. And then they started taking away practice time, and you didn't have as much time to work with those guys. And I think, you know, the player workload thing where they load management concept. Man, load management for guys who are early in the season and younger seems crazy to me. It seems crazy when we have an entire history. You got a league built around analytics, right? You have an entire history of star players who have played more, played longer, and played more minutes, and played in college as well, and yet they still played at extremely high levels.
What about...
Doesn't that feel like it's just a player-driven thing more than a team-driven thing?
Seniors for some in teams? High school that have scholarship offers to the University of Texas and decide to skip their senior year of football, high school football.
I think that's the trend that we're going to see. I think...
And what are the odds that he plays all 4 years at the University of Texas?
Well, he's a great player.
Wait a minute, more than 2 years. Because if he's already proven himself... Mm-hmm. That third year, he might just take off.
No, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
In the NFL, and this was my big concern, The opt-out has created something new in the lexicon, and players are going to opt out of junior years. You are going to see a large percentage of players. Within 3 years, you'll see a lot of juniors who don't play anymore. Mm-hmm. They just go start working out.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look at this. The USFL announces plans to return in spring 2022. How about that? Maybe there's a place for... What if they're the gamblers, right? They're the Houston Gamblers. Houston Gambler. I can't. There's no.
You ain't loyal. You're already looking for a different opportunity.
Well,
you think they're gonna take away the roughneck?
Guess what? There's a little competition now. There's a little a competition. Roughnecks. Best get your
for you?
Your acting gear. You're damn right for me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock ain't gonna like this. The disloyalty.
No, The Rock better. Well, do you think that we're going to say that black players have a lower level?
Ooh, that's not great.
Y'all want to bring that story up?
You better watch out.
You have not even brought the story out.
You haven't explained it to people. You might want to explain it first.
No, explain what you're talking about.
We'll do it on the other side.
It's something bad with the XFL.
No.
No, it's something bad with the XFL.
The Rock said something bad.
Your league, the NFL. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Gamblers. There's nothing. There's no good way to do this. I can't be there, boy. Sorry.
What about the Houston?
I know you're looking for it. They're great, aren't you?
No, I'm not even going to acknowledge what you're doing because of your disloyalty to the Roughneck. So, no, I'm not going to play it. I hope The Rock somehow hears this and says,
hey, highest bidder, let's go.
You want services?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Pay for services rendered.
They paid you last
That's
year.
That's what we
More
do.
Than the coaches could say with your janky-ass league.
Oh, let's get to your league. Thank you, Ashley. Okay.
I just get my preemptive shots in while I can.
So, Dal, tell the story.
Story?
Well, this is a story out there today.
I mean, I'm much like you. I didn't read the story. I just saw the headline.
Yeah. Oh, you headline clickbait guys. Yeah. Oh, that's what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gist of it is the NFL started off their concussion testing with the theory that black players had a lower cognitive function than white players.
I mean, are you dumb? This is stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so Bob Brenly was. Oh, all right. This is so dumb.
Hold on. This is what. So this is the story. So this is all because of CTE. They had to determine a baseline for. Who had, you know, as they determine who gets paid for CT in these settlements, we know a guy who was involved in the settlements. We know some players here locally who got settlements. Well, anyway, so what they would have to do is they have to sift through everybody to see if they had indeed, because there is no test for CTE right now. You don't know if somebody has CTE officially, I guess. I mean, there are symptoms. You can make a determination, but when someone's passed away, they can look at the brain, and that's how you determine if someone has CT and how bad it is. So the people, I guess there were doctors working for the NFL who had to make determinations on how bad a player was, like where was his baseline and how bad was he now to determine the settlement
right.
and what the money they were going to get and things like that. Well, I guess apparently there was, and we don't know if this is true or not, because this is just all supposition.
No, it's not supposition.
The NFL has
by an AP article.
No.
So what they're saying is, under the methodology,
Lance Zierlein,
black players are assumed to possess a lower level of cognitive function than the average white player, which means they have to go lower. they have to demonstrate a greater level of cognitive decline than the white counterpart.
Yeah, which made it, the practice, it's called race norming.
Yeah.
And the practice made it harder for black retirees to show a deficient,
right,
and to show as deficient or show a deficit and qualify for an award. The standards were created in the 1990s in hopes of offering more appropriate
treatment.
There
was racism.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what it was done. It wasn't done for this.
There
so
was
they
racism
were using,
in the country in the 90s.
Right, but this isn't the NFL yes, who was. Used this. The standards, just to give you actual real information, the standards are created in the 90s in hopes of offering more appropriate treatment to dementia patients. So this initially started in the 90s to determine levels of decline in dementia patients. But critics faulted the way they were used to determine payouts in the NFL concussion case. So they used this 1990s determination for dementia as their baseline. Wednesday's announcement comes after a pair of black players filed a civil rights lawsuit over the practice. Medical experts raised concerns, and a group of NFL families last month dropped 50,000 petitions at the federal courthouse in Philadelphia.
So critics say the small sample... There were just a certain number of black people in San Diego that took part in the initial study, and they really didn't represent black people in the U.S. then or today. So that's why they had a lower level, because those few people that they did test had a lower level.
Well, everybody is on an individual basis.
That's right.
Like this is that's the problem with making generalizations due to race.
Well, is thank you. Well, you know what we don't do? In the XFL, that, okay. Maybe you do it in the NFL.
You need to stop speaking for the XFL.
Yeah, no,
The Rock
that's my
is going to do one of his moves. He'll do a people's elbow on you, and it'll be over.
No, The Rock, yeah, I smell what The Rock is cooking, okay?
And it's
and
equality?
And it is success, and it is actually a successful league.
According to the NFL. For The Rock, certainly.
According to the NFL, a panel of neuropsychologists formed recently to propose a new testing regimen to the court. It included two female and three black doctors. So they're going to get this right.
Change
like the
things,
NFL typically does. They get it right.
About time the NFL decided, you know, to stop being racist. Old trash-ass racist league.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to the NFL for getting it together. This man,
trash-ass league.
And he can't even handle the heat. He had to leave. He can't handle.
Somebody.
Is he going to answer
was he getting
for
his
the NFL?
Pizza? Where did he go?
Do you think that Roger Goodell sent him a pizza so he would back?
He would keep going.
Yeah. Keep defending the NFL.
Yeah. By the way, I was just so he's going to the Texans practice today. Mm-hmm. He got invited out to that. I didn't get that invite.
No one's looking for you.
But I moved. You know what was at my, they've been calling me where I used to live, saying, we got a package for you. My John Granato Coke bottles from the Texans.
Oh, look at that.
Were sitting there. And my Gatorade bottle. So I was like, oh, screw you, Texans. I get pizzas, but I'm not going
to
get the Coke bottles.
No, they sent
and the Gatorade
you.
Bottle. And they sent it to me. So I don't want to, I'm not going to apologize to
maybe
them for saying the ugly things I said
you
to
don't
them.
Think you should, you know, since you just weren't in the place they sent them, that maybe you should you know, apologize for how disrespectful you were?
No.
Huh.
No, because they probably did other stuff that,
like,
did I get invited to this practice today? You know, I actually might have because I missed a call from him. He said it was a 900 number, and I had a 900 number. But I'm not going anyway.
You probably did get a call to an
but
invite.
But I'm leaving town, so I'm out of here right after the show, so I can't go anyway. I don't care about them. I mean.
You don't want to see Tyrod Taylor play quarterback?
I like to see Tyrod.
Okay. Is it? I've heard Tyrod in town, and I've heard Tyrod nationally.
Yes,
is it Tyrod?
No, I think it's Tyrod.
Okay, you don't want to see Tyrod and Jeff.
I don't want to see any of them.
And Davis
play
quarterback.
Oh, you mean talk to Tyrod? That's right. Nobody can talk to him. He's our deaf mute quarterback. Okay, all right.
Like in the Quiet Place?
Yeah, yeah. We can't. Nobody wear spikes. Everybody go out in your bare feet. By the way, why couldn't they wear gym shoes?
I guess they make too much noise.
No, gym shoes don't make noise.
They rustle on the grass, John. That's why they had to walk on that path that they created with like sand or something.
Right, with
I don't
sand.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gym shoes might squeak, John.
No, but with the one guy, Cillian, he had shoes on.
Yeah, like boots
or
something, right?
But the girl, she didn't have it. I'm like, she's hurting her feet. That's got to hurt. Just walking on the rocks.
I would ask, like, if I, you know, those press junkets where you get to talk to the the director or the actors. My whole thing would have been about logistics. Like, so did you have people clearing out fields to make sure there are no, because they're in like a junky area, to make sure there are no broken bottles? Whose job was that? To make sure your actors didn't really hurt their feet.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, who sets bear traps out there?
Well, he was trying to get it. I can't give it away. He was trying. It's alien trap at that point.
You think so?
Yeah.
It wasn't an alien trap, now was it?
Well, maybe if that kid had paid attention,
a different
outcome would have happened.
Oh, he's screaming like a little biznosh.
Okay. Coming from the guy who's never had a bear trap around his ankle, screaming like a little biznosh. Dude had a rusty metal bear trap.
Oh, really? And guess what? Here come the aliens.
What do you want?
Thanks for giving away our spot.
What do you want them to do? Not yet.
Shut up.
Okay.
Take it like a man. You can act like a man.
He wasn't a man. He was a young kid, so.
Right. Well, about time you grew up.
That's what the path was about the movie. That's all we're going to talk about. We don't get given anything away. But the path of the movie was him growing up. You saw it at the end, what he became.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quiet Place 2. Go watch it, everybody.
It is good. It's a good movie. And it's only at the theaters. So, you know what? About time you got back to the theater and we all enjoyed it. We all enjoyed ourselves. Is more hated, Christian Laettner or A-Rod?
Well, A-Rod is on the path. If he does what he does, he might, because what he's trying to do makes you hateable. Like, no owner who's ever done this wasn't hateable. Like, at least to the place he did it.
Robert Irsay.
Yeah, he's hated.
Like, was it Jim?
Modell.
No, Robert.
I think it was Robert at the time. Modell, hated.
Yep.
Bud Adams.
Yep, Bud Adams, hated.
And A-Rod wants to be on that list, apparently.
He's trying to move. He just bought the Timberwolves, said, we're going
to
move.
Yeah, hey, let's take him to Seattle.
Yeah, we're going to Seattle with the team.
That's what he'd like to do. There's some people trying to stand in his way. He would just, that would just put him on the pantheon of, you went from hated athlete to now hated owner. What else could he accomplish? J-Lo hates him now too, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Ben Affleck did that. Emailing her while they were.
Someone, hey, that's tampering. I still love
that
joke.
He was tampering.
And it worked. Just like in college football, just like in NBA. Tampering works.
Tampering.
And there's really no punishment for it.
No. What are you going to do?
What's A-Rod?
A-Rod, what are you going to do?
He's going to do nothing. He's just going to take it and play videos on his Instagram.
There have been lawsuits, though, guys. You ruined our marriage. But we're suing you.
Yeah, they weren't married, though, so I guess that's not
the
same.
It's not the same. But you lose J-Lo, that's...
It hurts.
You should sue. You should be able to sue.
Well, allegedly he cheated, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true, too. But that's okay. He's a guy.
You know what time it is. The question.
Are you, though?
Yes, I'm
that's
an
not
ally.
That's not an ally.
Yeah.
You can't say, it's okay, he's a guy. That doesn't make you an ally.
It kind of does.
I don't take
bit.
No orders from the woman, by the way.
By the way.
I do what I want.
That's right. I have as many women as I want, by the way. No, we don't do that. 943 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Time to talk about hoops. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Minnesota moving. That's the basketball team. Well, you want to move your goal? You know what? Keith Tate does that all the time. Keith Tate moved ours, actually. The installation is another thing, by the way. If you're looking for the best installation where it is going to, it's permanent, it is awesome, you will love it. You will love you tell him exactly where you want that goal, and I'm going to tell you, it is second to none. He's got experts that know how to come in, install the goal so that it is perfect for you and your family, wherever you want to put it. It's not something you just staple to the garage. It is an unrustable stanchion, and it's a tempered glass backboard. It's an unbreakable rim. You can lower and raise the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. If they're older and they want to play at 10 feet, that's great. But the younger kids, they all want to play it lower. They all want to dunk. They all want to have fun. Even the bigger kids like to lower the goal so that they can practice different kinds of dunks as opposed to just the one that they can do barely getting up there. So it's the most fun goal you could possibly have. Dads, your kids want to have fun out there. Have the best goal in the history of the world. Your wife will love it, too, because of the curb appeal. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Anyway, Duke stays up there, or you think they fall off now? I mean, that's all about him for all those years.
Yeah, I wonder if Duke is a brand beyond the coach, or are they Coach K?
Well, UCLA fell off, right? I mean, that was the most unbelievable run in any sport ever, what UCLA did. Then as soon as Wooden's gone, I mean, it falls apart.
And North Carolina went through multiple coaches before they got Roy Williams, another Hall of Famer, to get them back to the level they think they should be at.
And they were not, and listen, it was a given, Dean Smith. It wasn't always a given with Roy.
Yeah, I mean, just between Dean Smith, you had like Doherty, and then there was another assistant, and they had
Matt Doherty.
Matt Doherty, and I forgot the other guy. He was an older guy with glasses, I think. And then they finally settled on Roy Williams, and they've won multiple national titles, so they figured it out pretty much. So I think, sure, John Shire's not the right guy. They can fall off pretty quickly. I know they'll do everything in their power to keep it from happening, but we've seen it. Coach, the schools aren't the schools. It's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska, now things have changed because the game has changed, but Nebraska, Tom Osborne, Frank Solich was pretty good, got to a national title game. Bo Pelini, they weren't happy with 8-9 wins a year. Mike Riley, now their native son, Scott Frost. There's no guarantee.
No. Yeah. Yeah, Nebraska fell off. Is Alabama going to fall off when Nick leaves?
Ooh. Why, I mean... Maybe they don't pull a Tennessee and become not relevant anymore. But the whole we're going to play in title games all the time. Sure, that's going away.
Yeah,
that's not going to stay
the same.
They're
not going to be the same without him. No,
Nick Saban is the thing. I mean, they will delude them. Well, it depends on who they hire. If they go out and hire steal Dabo, then sure they'll probably be fine. But schools believe that they're bigger than the coach when the coach either leaves or they fire him, and it's not the case. What did Texas become after Mac's run ended? And they're the mighty Texas. What are they since the Mac years tailed off and now he's gone? What have they been? It's the coach. They got to go find the right guy.
You know what, though? Ohio State has maintained.
That's one of those programs who you can say they have made higher after higher and gotten it right. Even, it went from Cooper, who will never beat Michigan. They went out and got, what's his name? Tressel. Worked out, won a national title. Shouldn't have, but they won it. Shouldn't have won it. And then they had, when he got fired, they had the 1 year of Luke Fickle. Turns out Luke Fickle's a really good coach,
but he's a really good coach.
He just wasn't ready at the time for them. His 1 year.
Or they gave up too soon.
That's true. He was only an interim. It didn't work out, so they weren't looking for him. But Urban Meyer was out there, got him, and now they're at Ryan Day. Ohio State's the one program, despite the, not winning at the level that they'd like, even though they've been in playoffs. They think there's another level they can reach. They think they could be in Alabama. That's the one program that hasn't fallen off. They've hired the right guy over and over again.
Yeah, because I could certainly see, Georgia taking over the SEC. I don't know if Coach O can maintain it at LSU with what's been going on lately there. It's just been one scandal after another.
Is this really... So this isn't a scandal, and look, people think this is weak, but they say if you don't take steps when these kind of inappropriate contacts happen, that the NFL the college football will come down hard on
them. Yeah, as well they should. Les Miles, his reign
but this guy's a good offensive line coach, too. He's the guy that won the Joe Moore Award.
Yeah, I mean... It's from Les Miles
sensitive
to this
because time. Of this?
No, yes, absolutely. Well, they should be.
Les Miles.
You don't think Baylor has got their radar up about everything that goes on there?
Darius Geis, Les Miles double bubble is not a good look.
Yeah. No. This is.
Did you mention Darius Geis?
Yeah, no. That's what Darius Geis
really bad.
No, really bad. And what? And Les Miles let everything that Les Miles let happen there. But all of the guys from Jalen Mills punching the girl, and we saw the running back punch the drunk guy, and the kicking the Marine. I mean, it was just Jordan Jefferson. I mean, it was just incident after incident that he just turned. He enabled them, that program. And, well, we found out, well, he was enabling himself too.
Yeah, how do you hold somebody else to a standard that you're not holding yourself?
No. Honestly, I gave up on that program while he was there.
Okay, so this article came out yesterday morning, June 2nd. It has since been updated with new data. Boston Red Sox, Rafael Devers is hitting 165 against, this is the headline, Boston Red Sox, Rafael Devers is hitting 165 against fastballs this season. Astros have thrown him 35 straight four-seamers in two games. Now that we're in another game, that number's up to 49. They've thrown him 49 consecutive fastballs, the Astros. Their scouting report is you can't hit a fastball, and they have another specific number that Todd Cowles mentioned. I think it's if you hit 95-plus, he's hitting .63. So he's hitting .63. If you know someone's hitting .63 against the 95-mile-an-hour fastball or more, is there a reason to get cute?
No. Throw fastballs.
This is the ultimate analytics move that the Astros are
saying.
You
would think he'd be able to catch on 49 straight, that he'd be able to catch up.
You want to go take a look and see how it looks for him? Want to see how he's doing? I mean,
no.
Because I'm telling you now, he's hitting terrible against fastballs.
Yeah, no. But you would think if I see a fastball, it comes in 95. You're a professional hitter. You know what they always say? If I know a fastball's coming, I don't care if it's 102 miles an hour, a professional hitter can hit it.
That's the one pitch that you get to the – you only get to the bigs if you can hit fastballs, unless you're an Astro shortstop from the 2000s. Then, of course, you can't hit fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and age, you would think everybody can hit a fastball. Yeah, you might have trouble catching up with 97, 98 sometimes. Rafael Devers, they've basically said, this guy just can't hit a fastball. And we're talking four-seamers with less movement. So you just need to locate your fastball and just blaze it. Maybe you don't even have to locate it. Just throw the big fastball. In this day and age, a guy – that was the one saving grace is – remember how Jose Cruz Jr. had trouble hitting curveballs?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one time when Serrano couldn't hit the curveball? And he thought it was Joe Boone.
That was a movie.
Yeah, but Serrano couldn't hit the curve, though.
But that was a movie, though.
Well, in a way, it's
well,
a movie.
Did you have to kill a chicken or something? Sacrifice a chicken? What are you going to do?
Yeah,
no, he said F Joe Boo, remember?
Yeah, he said F Joe Boo eventually.
Oh, yeah.
He hit the home run on the hook. But, you know, some guys like Jose Cruz Jr., Pedro Serrano, they don't hit curveballs as well.
Right.
So that becomes, you know, their issue is hitting certain pitches. Craig Biggio won to the Hall of Fame. He couldn't hit a slider away.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Well, right. But
he still went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
But if you can't hit a fastball, how are you going to play? This guy's career is about to end. We're watching the end of Rafael Devers' Major League Baseball career. If the book is now that the Astros will throw you 50-plus straight fastballs, would they don't even have to disguise it? What do you think the scouting report is going to be for every other team?
Devers will say, I got two hits yesterday. Get off my ass.
Yeah. Suck it, Astros.
That's what he'll say.
But to your point,
did he have two hits yesterday?
Yeah. I don't know if that. Yeah.
Infield.
He had one infield.
Yeah. Hits, though. Keep throwing me fastball. I'll get hits. I'll get barely hits. I'll go, hit.
His exit velocity was like 7 miles 13. An hour.
He's going to have to prove he can hit a fastball to stay in the league.
Yeah, I wonder what people are not paying attention to if those are his numbers when he's still hitting .278 this year. So why is he getting anything but four seamers?
Well, it's going to change. I mean, it's going to change drastically. If the Astros, I mean, this is now, there's an article in a, you know, that article came out in a Boston newspaper. If there's articles about it, I guarantee you everyone's going to know about it now. So, steady diet of fastballs again. Rafael Devers undoing as Red Sox fall to Astros. That's Boston Globe. Boston Herald says Rafael Devers, heart of Red Sox order, continues to struggle in loss to the Astros. And there's a lot of articles about him not being able to hit fastballs now, and they're all coming from Boston.
Well, don't worry. They'll keep track in Boston. I don't imagine they're too happy with our Astros right now, getting their ass handed to them in the series. Only they would have gotten that second win against the Padres. But
You guys are still focused on that?
I am. It still pisses me off, that Taylor Jones game. That one, it'll be September, and I'll still be talking about the Taylor Jones game.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
I'm looking at pitch type.
Right now, I'm looking at different relievers that are going to be available for the Astros.
Who?
Richard,
oh, you mean through trade?
Trade.
Oh.
At the trade deadline. Richard Rodriguez from the Pirates. Kendall Graveman from the Mariners. I don't think the Mariners would give him to us. Do you think, will James Click make a move for the bullpen by the trade deadline?
We talked about it on SportsMap video. I think he has to. Will he? I don't know. If Baez would ever come back and be an effective pitcher, if you knew you had Baez, see, here's the thing. Can you count on everyone staying healthy and this pitching staff, the starters? Probably not. So if that's going to be the case, you can't just assume you have, let's just say, Garcia and Javier in the pen the entire time. Is everyone going to always pitch great all the time? Mm. No, probably
yes.
not.
Yes.
Maybe not. So if that's going to be the case, you still need an arm. Because everyone makes you nervous. Who do you feel excited about when they come into a game that's not a starter or a former starter? Does Presley really excite you, or do you just
yeah,
say...
Yeah, no, I'm happy when Presley's
in okay?
the game. Yeah.
Well, okay, so you're content when
yes,
Presley's in
yes,
the game.
Yes.
Who else makes you content? There's nobody, right?
No. Blake Taylor, I'm hopeful.
And only because of last year?
Yeah.
Small sample size.
So, yeah. And so was his early...
And Blake Taylor wasn't a 21-year-old. He wasn't a hotshot 21-year-old. He'd been around the league before.
Big, strong guy, though. We'll see what happens. I'll be happy when he's in instead of Raley or Stanek. Or Stanek, early on, had felt really good about. And then baseball happened. 957 ESPN, 97.5. Will Jose
baseball
Siri...
Baseball happened.
Will Jose Siri be up at any point this year?
No.
No? He's 2 months of excellence now.
Why do you want to mess with his
or maybe this
service
is just
time?
A, just over a month.
You mean the service time Astros? Are they going to let him come up early?
Yeah. No,
no
this
okay,
is a year.
Anytime, yeah. So the September call-up, yeah, I'll say yes.
Yeah. He'll absolutely. Oh, or after June 22nd.
You could wait.
You can wait till after June 22nd and bring him up.
I don't think they will, though.
I don't know. I mean...
He has
if
a chance
the
to
dude
win a batting
is,
title.
If he's raking all month this month,
he has a chance to win a triple crown.
Yeah, great
for the Skeeters.
9:58.
You got to let him win that minor league triple crown.
I got to say goodbye
Bye,
to you.
Bitch.
Oh,
Jesus
how?
Christ.
I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. Dell and I bring it home here on ESPN 97.5. Still ahead. Throw some, make some shade at the bottom of the hour. Think about what shade needs to be thrown.
Yeah, I would reserve shade, and by that I mean don't throw it at Taylor Jones. I feel like John has enough to go around.
Well,
you don't have guys. Don't all call
I
in and bad throw it at
him. I really
Taylor
did
Jones.
Feel bad for him, but I still can't. I can't forgive him.
You can't forgive him.
Right?
What did he break
although,
your heart?
Although you know you have to be. You have to be forgiveness.
You broke
forgive
my heart.
Those trespass against us.
You broke my heart, Taylor. You broke
no.
my heart. Is that what he did to you? You gonna have to put him out on a boat?
Forgive those who trespass against us.
Are you gonna get whoever your guy is to take him out on a boat and put him down?
No, no, I forgive him.
Okay.
Now I still think of the game that he that he blew for.
Never go against the family.
I don't hate him for it.
Never go against the family, Taylor. Is that what's gonna happen to
no,
this guy?
I didn't take him out on a boat
well,
and shoot him.
You seem to be holding a grudge.
Yeah, but that's not a shootable offense.
Oh, I don't
just
know how
little,
you feel.
It was painful for
me. I know.
Me. It was.
He broke your heart.
He did. He kind of did a little bit. It's 10 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.